All right, we're going to start here on the bottom of Ayin Aleph and Bet by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Haro'ah Yom Echad Asar. So this is the case that we actually discussed earlier in the Masechta, and now here's the Mishnah that was referenced, which is in a case where a woman sees on the 11th day of her Yemei Ziva. Remember again, there are 7 days of Nida, and then 11 days of Yemei Ziva. What's unusual about the last day of the Yemei Ziva is, do you have to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom? Whenever a woman has a sighting during the Yemei Ziva, if it's 1 day or 2 days, she's Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. She sees 3 days in a row, then she has Shiva Nikiyim. Over here, she's seeing on the 11th day. After the 11th day, that's the end of her Yemei Ziva. After that begins the Mei Nida again. If she sights after the 11th day, that's a Petach Linida. That begins the new Nida cycle again. So in this case, the woman sees on the 11th day, then V'tavla La'erev. She went to the mikveh that night, the night after the 11th. Umishamsha, and she gets together with her baal, she has bi'ah with him. Beit Shammai omrim, mitamim mishkav u'moshav v'chayavin karban. Beit Shammai believes that this woman is in violation of the dinei zava, and therefore she has full-fledged tumah like a nida, like a zava, and she has a din of korban. She is a din of chatat because she violated the din of nida and of zava over here because she is not tehora. Beit Hillel omrim, Turim in a korban, that she is patur from the korban, or both her and the bo'el are patur from the korban, but it's clear from Beit Hillel that it's only patur from the korban, they still say that the tumah is in existence. That means that we're dealing with a din derabanan over here. They say, mi derabanan, she should not go to the mikveh at night, and she should not be together with her baal that night after the 11th. Why? So according to Beit Hillel, there's really no problem after the 11th. Our fear is the days before in the Yemei Ziva. That if we allow her, in this instance, to be together with her baal, to go to the mikveh at night, she might do the same thing during the other 11 days of Yemei Ziva, and that'll be problematic. Because the remaining days of 11 days of Yemei Ziva, if she sights on one day, she has to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, and there, if she goes to the mikveh at night, it would not work at all. We'll see that later in the Mishnah. So here, Beit Hillel goes there, to the remaining 10 days of Yemei Ziva. Beit Shammai says there's a real problem here. There's a problem midoraita, and that's why she is chayevet bekorban, so is the bo'el, and there's tumat mishkav u'moshav. Now, what happens if they go on to the 12th day, tavla b'yom? She goes to the mikveh on the day of the 12th, in the morning of the 12th, shelacharav v'shimshad beita, and then she is together with her husband, v'achar kach ra'ata, and then she has a sighting after that point in time. So day 12, now this is after a cycle of 18 days, 7 days of Yemei Nida, 11 days of Yemei Ziva. She had a sighting on the 11th day of Yemei Ziva. On day 12, that day afterwards, she goes to the mikveh in the morning, is together with her husband, and then has another sighting. Beit Shammai omrim, mitamim mishkav u'moshav, u'pturim min hakorban. So again, this is a code for we're dealing here with a din derabanan. Because again, the korban is out of the picture, because we're not dealing with a din d'oraita. On the other hand, we have mishkav u'moshav, because Beit Shammai does not like what's transpiring over here. The same problem that Beit Hillel had at the nighttime, Beit Shammai is saying during the daytime. In other instances, if it was any one of the other 11 days of Yemei Ziva, the 10 days of Yemei Ziva, had she sighted the next morning, she's allowed to go to the mikveh, but we do not permit her to be together with her husband because of exactly this problem, the possibility that she might sight after she goes to the mikveh, and that would undermine her Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Over here, that doesn't happen, because when she sights on the 12th day, that's Petach L'Nida, it's the start of a totally new Nida cycle. So really, it doesn't have any retroactive impact. But nevertheless, Beit Shammai says, Otu, a case of when during the 10 days you saw, so on this 11th day also, the next morning, we're not going to allow you to go to the mikveh and to be together with your husband. And therefore, if you have a sighting afterwards, we're going to make it that you are Tamei the Mafreya. There's all this Mishkav Moshav the Mafreya. Beit Hillel Omim, Harizeh Gargaran. This individual is a Gargaran, glutton, a drunkard, someone who takes what they shouldn't take. Beit Hillel agrees with Beit Shammai that this is not the best thing to do. It's not the right thing to do. But over here, there's no tumah, there is no issue of korban. It's a bad choice to make this choice to do such a thing. Omodim. And this is where Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree, and this is what we discussed already in the Mishnah, because on the 11th day, we said this is all up to what really happens during the rest of Yemei Ziva, which is, Barab toch yud alef yom, if she sees during any of the days of Yemei Ziva, bitavla le'erev, and she goes to the mikveh that night, Bishimsha, and she's together with her husband, Shimitami Mishkav Moshav, both of them, both she as a Nida Zava, he as a Boel Zava, Boel Nida, are Mitame Mishkav Moshav, and Chayavin Bekarban, in plural, they're both Chayavin Bekarban, it was done Bishogeg. So now, Tavla B'yom, the next morning, if they go to the mikveh, So the next morning, she is permitted to go to the mikveh, because we saw before, when it comes to Zava and even Shiva Nikiim, Mikzat Hayom Kekulo. As long as you enter into the next day, then you're already permitted to go to the mikveh. So there, she is permitted to go to the mikveh, Vishimsha, but that she is not permitted to be together with her husband. This we saw earlier in the Masechta a number of times. Rabbi Shimon says that we don't permit her to be with her husband because of the problem if she does have another sighting. If she has another sighting, then the two are mitzaref together, and there was never any Shemeret Yom Keneged Yom, and she was not permitted to be with her husband. So in order to prevent that situation, we say, don't be together with your husband until sunset of that day. Correct. Mikzat Hayom Kekulo is the matir to allow her to go to the mikveh. In terms of tara, she's still tluya until the sun sets on that day. So then, harizet tarbut ra'ah. This is a bad choice. This is a bad decision. Umagaan ubilatan tluin. If they do have bi'ah now, there is nothing definitive about it. We have to wait and see until the day completes. If the day completes without any problem, then there's no tumah and there's no korban. On the other hand, if there is a sighting again that day, then there is tumah retroactively because she was never cleared from being a zavah tana, and there will be a problem of boel nida boel zavah, and therefore there will be chayavin be korban. So that basically sets up the Mishnah, which is the latter half of the Mishnah tells you where Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree, which is that in any of the other yemei zivah, is an important principle here, that you can go to the mikvah on the Shemeret Yom Keneged Yom and Mikzat Hayom Kekulo. But it's clear here that Mikzat Hayom Kekulo only starts from the morning. That means at nighttime, that doesn't count towards Mikzat Hayom Kekulo, and therefore she can't go to the mikveh at night. She has to wait until the morning, into that day. Into that day, she can go to the mikveh. Even when she goes to the mikveh, we don't want her doing anything, assuming that she's tahor, because we want to wait until sunset to know for certain that she is Torah. Now, in terms of the nighttime, if she does anything, then she's in violation, because there is no heter whatsoever. You're going to the mikvah, anything of the sort, there is no Shemeret Yom Keneged Yom until you reach into the daytime. There's a big Tosafot here who discusses this. In other places, Rashi discusses or suggests that Mikzat Hayom Kekulo starts at nighttime. And Tosafot is loath to believe that, and one of his proofs is from our Mishnah here. It's pretty clear from the Mishnah that Mikzat Hayom Kekulo only applies during the daytime, when you can go to the mikveh. Nobody says that Mikzat Hayom Kekulo applies at nighttime or the night before. And therefore, Mikzat Hayom Kekulo must include the day. The Ri here does have a Chiddush, which applies to Rabbi Yossi's Shita. Rabbi Yossi has an interesting Shita that on the Shvi'i, on the seventh day, if you already go to the mikveh, and you have a sighting after you go to the mikveh, that it's not okay, or the Shiv Nikiyim. That's both for a Zav and a Zavah. So that's Rabbi Yossi Shita. Because of Mikzat Hayom Kekulo, he takes it very literally, that Mikzat Hayom Kekulo makes it that the Shiva Nikiyim are complete. It's just you have to finish that day B'tahara. If you don't, you just have to wait an extra day, but you don't have to oker, and you have to redo all the Shiva Nikiyim. So based on that, Tosafot says that Mikzat Hayom Kekulo by Rabbi Yossi will only apply if she has cleanliness or the Tahor in the beginning, and then she has the siding afterwards. That's the Mikzat Hayom Kekulo. But then the Ri is Mechadesh here that maybe it could work the other way as well. What happens if she has a sighting at night on the 7th, and then she retains the remaining part of the day, B'tahara? And the Ri suggests over here that that would work as Mikzat Hayom Kekulo too for Rabbi Yossi. And that's a big Chiddush, because generally when we say Mikzat Hayom Kekulo, we talk about the beginning of the day, and that makes it the entirety of that day. And that Mikzat Hayom Kekulo will make it that it's as if it terminated or ended the Shiva Nikiyim. On the other hand, when you have it afterwards, if you had the Mikzat Kekulo after you already had the sighting, there's no continuity. There's no series of Shiva Nikiyim, and then it becomes questionable. But here the Ri suggests that maybe Mikzat Hayom Kekulo will work for Rabbi Yossi in that case. In the past, we've discussed the basic Hakiro and Mikzat Hayom Kekulo is, do we look at Mikzat Hayom Kekulo to say as if the day is complete and everything is done? So that means that when you reach Mikzat Hayom Kekulo, that we say that basically the Shiva is terminated when it comes to Shiva, when it comes to the Shiva Nikiyim, it's all over, we're done. Or do we say Mikzat Hayom Kekulo works like Rove? We assume that that's the case, that it's done. But if there was something, first of all, if a person wanted to keep Shiva for the entirety of the day, they would be permitted, because they don't have to keep Mikzat Hayom Kekulo. It's just that it's a dispensation. Over here by Shiva Nikiyim, maybe Mikzat Hayom Kekulo, like we were saying before, allows her to go to the mikveh, but doesn't necessarily make her Torah. If she has a sighting retroactively, that might undermine it. So here you see that idea of the Mikzat Hayom Kekulo, the two sides of that Chakira of how it works. Possibly as if the day is complete and there's nothing more to do. Or do we say Mikzat Hayom Kekulo means that it could suffice, but it doesn't mean that the rest of the day is irrelevant. Right now the Gemara begins. Tan Rabbanan. This Braita basically repeats what the end of the Mishnah said, and the two lines of the Braita are one's an explanation of the other, which is Vishavin. They both agree, Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, Bitovelet Laila, that if she goes to the mikveh at night, Lezavah, for being a Zavah Ktanah, she has a sighting during Yemei Zivah, She'ena tefillah, that does not work as a tefillah, that does not function as a tefillah, and she's not shomeret yom keneged yom, she's not past point where she's tehora at all. Vishavin beruah betoch yud aleph yom, and they both agree, this is explaining that first line in the Braita, that when she has a sighting during the 11 days of Meziva, tavla la'erev vishimsha, and therefore if she goes to the mikveh the night afterwards and kohabits with her husband, that she's mitamah mishkav u'moshav, and really the girsi here probably should be mitamim mishkav u'moshav, that they're both tamim mishkav u'moshav, and chayavin b'korban, and that they are both chayav and korban because it was inappropriate. She still is a va, and there's a problem here. Lo nechluku, the only machluk between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, which is obvious for our Mishnah, is b'yom yud aleph, on the 11th day itself. When she has a sighting on the 11th day of the 11 days of Meziva, that's where we have a difference in opinion. At nighttime, post the 11th day, so this is into day 12, the night of day 12, there Beit Shammai says there's still a problem, there's a problem, and therefore at nighttime, if she gets together with her husband, she'll have, number one, a kichiyuv korban, because there's a problem of bu'el zava, and she'll be mitameh mishkav v'moshav, as well as the boel will be a boel nida boel zava, and he'll also be mitameh mishkav v'moshav. Ubeit Hillel potrim mikarban. Beit Hillel says that, yes, the tumah is in place because of the gzirat chachamim, but there's no korban over here because we're not talking about a problem deoraita. Amru lahen Beit Shammai to Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says to Beit Hillel, maishna yom yud aleph mi yom toch yud aleph. Why are you differentiating between the mei ziva? All the mei ziva are equal. So why are you saying on the 11th day that it's different than the 10th or the 9th day? So, im shiva lo l'tumah, lo yishva lo l'karban. If you have the din of tumah at night, Beit Hillel agrees that on the night after the 11th, that she is mitamah mishkav and moshav, as well as her bo'el. And if that's the case, why don't you also say there's a din of korban? So, amar lahen Beit Hillel the Beit Shammai, lo. There's a difference here. Im amart betoch yud alf yom, sheken shiyom acharav mitztaref imo l'zivah. The day afterwards has a possibility of being mitzdareif to it to create a zava tana if it's two and a zava gdola if it's three. Tomru b'yom yud aleph she'en yom shalacharav nitzdareif imo the ziva. The day after the 11th has no impact in terms of ziva. It's not relevant to the yemei ziva. Again, we said it's already the beginning of the new cycle of nida and it has no relevance to the yemei ziva. So amr lehem beit shamay hushvu midotchem. At least be consistent in your position. Im shiva lo l'tuma yishva lo l'karban. If you say that at nighttime she is mitamei mishkav moshav the night after the 11th, then she should also have to bring a korban. V'im lo yishiva lo korban. If she doesn't have to bring a korban, then lo yishiva lo tumah. She shouldn't be tmeya. Why are you splitting between the tumah and the korban? The two come together. They're a package deal. So why are you splitting between them? Very good. That's exactly what the Gemara says. Amar lahem Beit Hillel. Im ivyenu al yidei tumah lahachmir. We're going to be machmir on her when it comes to tumah, to say she has tumah at mishkav moshav midirabanan. Lo nivyeo li de korban lahakel. We're not going to bring her to a korban, which is a kula, because we're going to allow her to bring chulin to the azarah. Just like you said, Shol, can't institute korban, because korban ends up with a huge issue of chulin bazarah. That we can't institute midirabanan. Tumah, we can institute midirabanan. Ve'od. And now, Beit Hillel asks a question of Beit Shammai, which is an obvious question. Beit Shammai and the Mishnah also did the same thing on the day of the 12th. When she goes to the mikvah on the day of the 12th, and she's together with her husband, and then has a sighting later in the day, over there, Beit Shammai said that she is mitamah mishkav moshav, but no korban. So they do the exact same split on the following day. Ve'od midivrechem atem noshchim. From your own words, you're going to be bidden, meaning that you're going to be refuted from your own position. Shatem omrim tavla yom shel acharav. She goes to the mikveh the morning of the 12th, vishimsha, and then was together with her husband, v'achakach ra'ata. And then she has a sighting, mitamei mishkav u'moshav, or mitamin mishkav u'moshav, u'pturim min ha'korban. So over there, you have the exact same split. You split between tumah and korban. Afatem hushvu midotchem. You're telling us to be consistent, you be consistent. Im shiva lo tumah, yishva lo korban. If you think that there's tumah here, then where's the korban? Vim lo shiva lo korban. If there's no korban, lo yishva lo tumah le tumah. There shouldn't be any tumah here. Ella, what's the answer? Why did you do that? Lahachmir v'lo lahakel. Because by tumah, it's a chumrah, so you did it. By korban, it's a kula, because we're allowed chulin to lazarat. That we didn't allow. Hachanami, the same by us. At nighttime, we say the same thing. Lahachmir v'lo lahakel. So where we think it's derabanan at nighttime, we split between tumah and korban. And you, where you think it's derabanan during the daytime, you split between korban and tumah. Question is, what was Beit Shammai thinking? Why did they challenge Beit Hillel for something they themselves did? So Tosafot points out over here that Beit Shammai differentiates between the Yom Yud Aleph, which is midoraita. So therefore, if you're machmir for tamei mishkav moshav, then people will say that there is a chiyuv korban. So that at the night afterwards, when you're doing with the 11th day itself, people are going to think they know the 11th day is d'oraita, and they're going to think at nighttime that if there's tumah, there's also a korban, and they'll get confused over there. Whereas on the day 12, everybody knows when once you reach day 12 that you're outside of the Yemei Ziva, there's going to be no confusion that we're dealing with a din dirabanan. So where it's obvious that it's a din rabbanan, we're willing to split. The nighttime before, where it's not so obvious it's the rabbanan, and there's a reason to be gozer otu because of other nights where there's clearly no differentiation, there they said, Beit Hillel, you shouldn't differentiate, even though they themselves, Beit Shammai, did differentiate. So now, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna makes a statement. He's going to be somewhat controversial in the context of our Mishnah, which is Amar Rav Huna. Mishkava u'moshava b'sheni. The Mishkava Moshava and the Sheni. Sheni means the day after she had a sighting. That's her Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Shammai Mitamim, Afo Pi Shetavla, Afo Pi Shelo Ra'ata. So here is a case where she went to the mikveh on the day that she's supposed to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, and she did not have a subsequent sighting. Nevertheless, Rav Huna says that Beit Shammai is mitameh in that case, Mishkav Moshav, similar to the gzeirah that they have on day 12. On day 12, they have a gzeirah of Mishkav Moshav without a korban. You have the same thing over here on Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, where she went to the mikveh, she was together with her husband, or she dealt with Tarot, and she did not have a sighting for the rest of the day. Nevertheless, Beit Shammai is gozer over there, midrabanan, that she's mitameh Mishkav Moshav. So even though there was no sighting, my time, what's the reasoning behind this? Because if she did have a sighting, she would be tameah limafreya, because it would join together with the previous day, and she'd still be a zavaktana, and going to the mikveh in the morning would have no impact over here. So hashtinami mitamyo. So midrabanan, they made her a tameah, even though she doesn't have that subsequent sighting. So Amar of Yosef, my kamashvalan. What are you teaching us here? Tanina. That's exactly what it says in our Mishnah. Tavyo yom shel achara v'shimshad beita v'achachach ra'ata. The case where she has a sighting on the 11th day, and then on the 12th day, she goes to the mikveh in the morning, is together with her husband, and has a sighting later that day. Beit Shammai omrim, mitama mishkavot u'moshavot, ubtura min ha-korban. That she is tamei with regards to mishkav and moshav, that there is no din of korban. You have a din d'rabanan over there. So, Amar of Kahana, wait a minute. How could you compare these two cases? That case on day 12 is Ra'ato Shaini. There she does see afterwards. Here, Rav Huna's case is a case where she has no sighting subsequent. And there we're saying, yes, there's a Gzera D'Rabbanan. Over in the case on day 12, yes, it's a Gzera D'Rabbanan. If it's a Gzera D'Rabbanan in a case where Ra'ato, where they actually had a sighting afterwards, over there it makes more sense to say that we made a Gzera because she actually did have a sighting. In the case of Rav Huna's case, where there was no sighting subsequent to that, why is there a Gzera D'Rabbanan? Samar of Yosef, Yosef says back to him, V'chirata mayhavi. Wait, when she cites on day 12, what good is that? What relevance does that have? That's a ri'ad nidahi. Remember, on day 12, we've already closed out her first cycle. She had 7 days of nidah, 11 days of mezivah. She's now into a new cycle. When she cites on day 12 in the afternoon, that's the start of a new nidah. It has no relevance retroactively to anything that happened before. It's the start of a totally new cycle. So even when she sees, why is that relevant? So you're telling me that Rata makes a difference? It doesn't make a difference here. This Ri'ya is not relevant to the Ziva at all. So Amar Abaye the Rav Yosef, Rav Kahana, Hocha Kakashile. This is Rav Kahana's issue over here. Bishlama Hecha Derata. In a case where she cites on day 12, even though that citing is not necessarily relevant to the Ziva beforehand, Gazrin and Ri'ya Dinida Atu Ri'ya de Ziva. Will be Gozer in that case. Even though that Ri'ya is a Petach Linida, it's a start of a totally new cycle, would be gozer otu, a case where it's in the middle of her Yemei Ziva, and on the day that she shomeret yom keneged yom, she has a sighting in the afternoon, that would be a riat ziva, and that would be oker, the counting that she did for shomeret yom keneged yom. So that pattern is a pattern that would make sense to be gozer, because you have a similar pattern of ri'ya that ends up in a bad ending when it's in Yemei Ziva. Over here, it's not the same because it's a nidah, but the structure of that setup is exactly the same, and that could land you into a doraita problem. Even over here, it's not a doraita problem. Hecha de lo rato, in a case where she has no sighting, meinig zarba. What are you being gozer for? Right? She had no sighting. There's no confusion over here. The reason that this all worked is because she did not have a sighting. Had she had a sighting, it would have been problematic, midoraita, but she didn't have the sighting. So what are you going to be gozer? You're going to be gozer a case where she doesn't see and make her all tamei because of a case where she might see? Well, if she sees, she's in a problem doraita already. So what's the gzeirah here? Ve'od tanan. In addition to that, we have a mishnah. Haro'eh ri'ah achat shel zov. someone who has a sighting, a single sighting of Zov. What we had so far is we have a statement from Rav Huna. Statement from Rav Huna that says Beit Shammai thinks that this gezerah applies not only on day 12, but all the days of Yemei Zivah. Even without a sighting, he has this gezerah. Rav Yosef, first of all, challenges that and says, look, we have that straight out in the Mishnah. What are you telling us that's new? Rav Kahana challenged that and said, wait a minute, the case that you brought from the Mishnah, Rav Yosef, is number one, a case of Ri'iyah Nidah, not Ri'iyah Zivah. And even if you want to suggest now, which is what we did, that Ri'iyah, even though it's not relevant, so therefore maybe it looks like a case where you had no Ri'iyah during Yemei Zivah, there's still a big difference. Because when you have a Ri'iyah, even when it's not relevant, it's patterned like something that would be a problem d'oraita. So there we'd be Gozer. But during Yemei Zivah, why would be Gozer? So that's our first problem with Rav Huna. Why do we have a Gzeira like this? Number two is we have this Mishnah that we're about to quote that is problematic for this position, Rav Huna, and that is Riachat Shol Zov. So someone who sees a single sighting of Zov. Beit Shammai Umrim, Kishomeret Yom Keneged Yom, has the same status as a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Beit Hillel Umrim, Kebal Keri, has a din like a Bal Keri. So this is a person who has a first sighting of Ziva. We know that the first sighting of first emission of Ziva has the same status as a Bal Keri. So now, what is the status of this individual after they have that sighting? Well, they have Tumat Erev. Tumat Erev, you go to the mikveh that day, and then you have to wait out the rest of the day for Erev Shemesh. After you go to the mikveh, what's the status of that individual? So Beit Shammai says they're like a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. And Beit Hillel says, no, they're like a Bal Keri, the sin of a din of a Bal Keri. V'tanya. We have an explanation of this. Hamesit et Hari'iyah. Someone who carries that Ri'iyah, that emission that came out, that first emission, Beit Shammai Omrim Tolin. Beit Shammai says, we wait and see what its status is. Uvet Hillel Mitarim. They say it's Tahor. Because what's the possibility here? If he has a second sighting that day, or even the next day, he has a second sighting, they'll mimitz the rafe to make him have a necessity of Shiva Nikim to be a Zav Gamur. So the problem is, if he has a second sighting, then the first sighting becomes a Ziv emission. Beit Shammai says, we wait and see. Well, let's carry that first emission. If it's Bal Keri, there's no din of Masan, Tumat Masan, Bal Keri, so there's nothing to worry about. On the other hand, if we're talking about Zivah, then there's a problem of Masa, there's a problem of all sorts of Tuma, of Mishkav, Moshav, all sorts of additional Tuma. So Beit Shammai says, let's wait and see. If afterwards we find out that it's really a second emission and he's a full-fledged Zav, then that Zivah will have a din of Tumat Zivah. On the other hand, Beit Hillel says, no, that first emission has a din like Bal Keri. There is nothing to talk about. You don't have to worry about it because it's like carrying Keri. And when you carry Keri, there's no din of Tumat Masa. Now, Mishkavot to Moshavot Sheben Riyah Rishna the Riyah Shniyah. All the Mishkav and Moshav of this individual between the first sighting and the second sighting. What's the din? Again, Beit Shammai Tolin. Beit Shammai says we wait and see what the din is. Beit Hillel Mitarin. Beit Hillel again says it's Tahor. They don't have a din of Mishkav and Moshav retroactively. When you hit the second emission, then you become a Zav prospectively. Beit Shammai says no, that affects you retroactively, and therefore we have to wait and see if you have that second emission before we know what the status is of this interim period. So now, Viktani Reisha. Now let's see. Beit Shammai's opinion in all these cases is that we're tolin, we wait, and we say if you are tamei or not. Now, what did they compare that to? They compared that to a case of Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Well, so what does that mean about Beit Shammai's opinion by Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom? That means that Beit Shammai believes that a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom is tolin. We wait, we see. It's not that they're gzeirat chachamim that you're mitamei mishkav and moshav, like Rav Huna said. We're tolin, we wait and see. That means there are two possible outcomes. If there's no sighting, then you're totally fine. If there is a sighting, then there is tuma. But there's no automatic tuma. There's no gzeirat derabanan over here. And that's what the Gemara's question is. Viktani reisha ha-ro'eh riyachat shel zov Beit Shammai omrim kishomeret yom keneged yom. Alma, from this you can conclude that a shomeret yom keneged yom Beit Shammai is tolin. That has a din of safek tuma. We wait and see what the outcome is, but not that there's a gzeirat chachamim over here. So that really is an undermining of Rav Huna's statement. Here you see, Beit Shammai clearly is saying that there is no gzeirat rabanan. It's all a din of tolin. Mar says, lo tema shomeret yom keneged yom. Don't look at the brayta saying that it's like a shomeret yom keneged yom. Ela ema ki boel shomeret yom keneged yom. Has the same status as someone who is boel a shomeret yom keneged yom. So maishna, what's the difference? What's the difference between a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom and a Boel Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom? Let's remember, when it comes to a Nida, or it comes to a Zava, a Boel Nida and a Boel Zava have the same dinim. They have the same dinim, almost, not everything perfectly, but they have the same dinim when it comes to Mishkav and Moshav, and they have the same dinim with regards to Korban. So here, when you have a Chiyuv Korban, or you have a Tumat Mishkav and Moshav, there should be no distinction between a Boel Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom and a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Why are you distinguishing between them? Maishna Iyu, Dolom Mitami Mishkav and Moshav, Maishna Iyu, Demetami Alei. So why do you make it that he is not mitame mishkav moshav? There's no gzera derabanan, and we do have a gzera derabanan that she's mitame mishkav moshav. So when it says, here's the answer: ihu delo shchichi be damim lo gozer be rabanan. He who there isn't a common occurrence of damim with rabanan, we're not gozer. Ihi the woman the shchichi ba damim gozer ba rabanan. So the likelihood of there being a recurring problem is with this woman. The woman is the one who's going to have this sighting on a recurring basis. She has damim. And then the likelihood of having this second sighting on a day that she shemared the Yom Kiyaginom is really relevant to her. For a bold nida, he doesn't have any sightings of damim. So this whole gzeira is not really relevant to him. Happens to be that he was boel, someone who has this issue, but he himself doesn't really have this issue. Now Gemara says, oh, in addition to that, maishna mishkava moshav dimitamile. So then again, why did you pick, out of all the tumult, why did you pick mishkava moshav to be the gzeirat chachamim? Umaishna boel, and the boel, you don't have this gzeira of tuma over there. So Gemara says, "Deshchiach mitamile, boel delo shchiach lo mitamia." So she who has this issue that comes up on a recurring basis, there the chamim goes there the tumat mishkav moshav. The boel, which is this is an unusual occurrence, there we're not going to be gozer for mishkav and moshav. Now Tosafot seems to have a slightly different girsa in the Gemara than us. And he asks, why did the Gemara ask the same question twice? Here, it's a little more nuanced in our Gemara, so the question is not exactly the same in the Gemara. The Gemara first asks the question of, why is there a difference between the Boel and the woman herself? And then the secondary question is, why did you pick Mishkav and Moshav to be the Tumah that you assigned to her and not to him? So the Gemara answered two different questions on a little nuanced level. Tosafot, because he had a different girsa, seems to think that the Gemara is asking the same question twice. And therefore, he has to come up with nuanced or different explanation of what the question is over here. And if you look over there, the Re gives some interesting explanations about what is the Gemara is really asking in the first question, not what's the difference between the Boel and the woman, but what's the difference between the woman on day 12 and the Boel during the Yemei Ziva, where they have a similar type of structure and they seem to be equal in their status. Why are you gozer by one and not gozer by the other? So that's what Tosfos explains as being the first question, rather than the way that we laid it out the question, which seems to be the more simple way to read the Gemara. Tavlo Yom Shalachrav, this is during the Mezivat. She goes to the mikvah on any Shomer Yom Keneged Yom in the daytime afterwards. Vishimsha, and she was together with her husband, Arizu Torbut Ra'ah. This is really bad judgment. It's a bad thing to do. And Mugaan Ubilatan Tluyin. We have to wait and see retroactively if she has a sighting on that day that it's Oker the Tvila or not. So my love, who's the author of that statement in the Mishnah? If you remember in the Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah said Vishavin, that they agree. Sounds like it's Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai both making this statement. So what do you see from this? You see again that Beit Shammai is saying that there's Tuluyin. When it comes to Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, it's not that there's Gzeret Chachamim, but there is Tuluyin. So Gemara says, lo, Beit Hillel hi. This is only Beit Hillel's opinion, not Beit Shammai's opinion. The Shavin had to do with the nighttime. The nighttime, if you went to the mikveh the night before, everybody agrees that that going to the mikveh is irrelevant. And if she's together with her husband, there's a din of Mishkav and Moshav, Boel, Nida, Zava, and Korbanot. The daytime mikvah, that's only the opinion of Beit Hillel. How do I know that? Titania, because we have a Braita. Now, the girsa over here, we have Amar Lahem, Rabbi Yehuda. The Gra changes the girsa to be Amar Lahem, Beit Shammai, which would make more sense. Amar Lahem, Beit Shammai, the Beit Hillel. Bechilu zu atem korim tarbut ra'ah. You're calling this a bad judgment? This is a bad way to act? Halo lo nitkavin zelu li bolet anida. Here, this person intends to be together with a nida. It says, nida sakadatcha? What nida we're talking about here? We're in the Yemei Ziva. Elaimali volet a zava. So she's going to be together with a zava. Again, the Gemara asks, zava sakadatcha? This is not a zava. She had a sighting yesterday. She now is a shomeret yom keneged yom. Elaimali vol shomeret yom keneged yom. It says, the Beit Hillel, well, this person is acting in such a way that he is almost flaunting the law, and he is being boel the shomeret yom keneged yom, and therefore there deserves to be a gzeira over here. As opposed to Beit Hillel, who thinks that it's just tarbut ra'ah, it's a bad choice, and we're tolin. Beit Shammai seems to have a much more strict view of this, and that's what Rav Huna was suggesting, that there is this gzeirat chachamim over here, that they're metamei mishkav and moshav. Yes, because it'll join with the first sighting, and she was never really a shomeret yom keneged yom. Yeah, but that's after one sighting, sighting one to sighting two, correct? Because sighting one by a zav is a din and keri. It has a totally different status. And to become a zav, you need the second sighting. That's when you become a zav at the second sighting. So by zav, there's a difference between sighting one and sighting two. By a woman, sighting one, she's already a zavaktana. When she has sighting two, it just extends her being a zavaktana. She hasn't changed her status. Day one and day two are the exact same status of being a zavaktana. So there's a difference between a zav and a zava in the second sighting, and that's why you have a difference in halacha. Beit Hillel so mitarin between a sighting one and sighting two of a zav, but by they'll agree by a nida between sighting one and sighting two. If she has that second sighting, everything retroactively is tameah, and there's a problem retroactively because she's still a zava ktana. She never got rid of that status. Correct. Beit Shammai thinks that there is retroactive problem by Zav, and that's why he compares it to Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, because then you have the same case then. According to Beit Shammai, you're just maintaining the original status of Zav 1 Riyah to Zav 2 Riyah, so too by the Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. It's a Zavak Tana to a Zavak Tana, and therefore you're dealing with parallel types of cases. All right, Itmar, this is something we again saw earlier in the Masechta about a sighting on day 10. We know here that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel argue about a sighting on day 11, whether you need a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom for that. Beit Hillel says no need for Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Beit Shammai says that there is a need for Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, at least to go to the mikveh on the morning of day 12. With regards to day 10, you have the same problem. The problem by day 10 is, do you have to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom by day 10? Because day 10 can never reach being a Zavah Gdola. If her first sighting is on day 10 of Yermei Zivah, at most she can be as a Zavah Ktana. Either day 11 she has no sighting, and now she's fine, or even if she has a sighting on day 11, that still makes her only into a Zavak Tana because she has 2 days in a row of sighting. If she sights on the third day, she's already Tchilat Nida. She can never become a Zavak Dola here. So the question is, if you do not have the ability to become a Zavak Dola, is there a din of Shomer Yom Keneged Yom? And that's a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Itmar, Asiri, on day 10 of the Yemei Ziva. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Asiri Kitshi. 10th day has the same status as the 9th day, and that means you have to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Just like on the 9th day, if you had a sighting, you have to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, because the 9th day could come out to be a Zavak Dola. If you have 9, 10, 11, then you would be a Zavak Dola. So too by day 10, even though she can't reach or can never become a Zavak Dola. Machi by Shimur, Afasri by Shimur, just like day 9 requires Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, so too day 10 requires it. Shalak Shemar, Siri Ke Achadasar. 10th day has the same status as the 11th day. Ma Achadasar Lo by Shimur, just like day 11 doesn't require Shimur, Afasri Lo by Shimur. Iki Demat Nila Aha. This we had as an independent machloket. Some people have this machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish referencing this. Amar lo, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah le Rabbi Akiva. Elazar ben Azariah says to Rabbi Akiva, Afilu ata mirabeh bashemen bashemen kol hayom. Even if you bring me limudim from the psukim all day long, from the word bashemen by the todot, and from the shemen and bashemen and todah, there are multiple times it says bashemen, and we have a principle, ein ribo yachar ribo yelo lema'et, and because of that, we end up with a chatzi log shemen, which is brought together with the Korban Todah. Even if you bring me these words, Bashem, Bashem, to teach me that there's a half log of Shemen by the Korban Todah, Eini Shomei Alecha, I'm not going to listen to you. Ela, Chatzi log Shemen le Todah, the half log of Shemen that comes with the Todah. Our Girsa in our Gemara is Revi'at Yayin. The Girsa of the Hagot, Marav Runcheberg, is that it's Revi'at Shemen of a Nazir. So in those cases, Ve'achad Sayom Sheben Nidah LeNidah Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. These three halachot are Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. As Tosfos points out, they have nothing to do with each other. So either you have to say that he all heard all three of them together from his Rebbe, or you have to say that these are three cases where Rabbi Akiva argues on Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says they're all Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai, and at two of them we know that Rabbi Akiva says they come from Psukim. We don't have the third one, but we can assume that maybe Rabbi Akiva and the third one also thinks that he gets it from the Psukim. So my halacha. What is this halacha LeMoshe MiSinai? Again, here, the pashtut of the Gemara is, and it's obvious that the acharas hayom sheben nidah ledinah halacha LeMoshe MiSinai, it's obvious that he's talking about the entire stretch of the 11 days. And we're going to see that in a second in the Gemara, that that's what they're talking about. Those 11 days of Yemei Zivah are halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. All of a sudden, we're going to have Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish coming and saying, oh, this is about the 11th day. And Tosfot asks the question right away. He says, Tema, but my plea of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What are they arguing with that? He's speaking about the whole stretch of 11 days. Here you bring in Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish to argue about just the 11th day. So he says, you're right, that's definitely what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is talking about. They're arguing in Svara. There's no connection, even though the Gemara is going to play it off of this machloket, it's not necessarily connected to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's statement, even though they are connecting it, there's no fundamental connection between them. So my halacha, what is this halacha? B'yochan Amar halacha, Yud Aleph. Halacha is singular, which refers to the 11th day. The 11th day, halacha Moshe MiSinai, does not require Shimur. Shalakish Amar halachot, it's halachot achadasar. It's in plural. So what does that mean? Rabbi Yochan Amar halacha achadasar, achadasar hu delo ba'i Shimur. What does it mean, halacha? The 11th day has one halacha associated with it. It does not require shimur, but it can be a shimur for something else. That means for day 10, it can be the shimur for it. There are two halachot that apply to day 11. What is that? Lo acharasar bay shimur. Acharasar itself does not require a shimur. And on top of that, lo shimur la'asiri avi. And it doesn't function as the shmeret yom keneged yom for the asiri. And that's the end of that statement of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. That's the end of the machloket. The Gemara is now going to move on to a total different topic, and it's difficult. It's almost a non sequitur if you think Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because the Gemara is about to go back to between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So that's why Tosfot says that their machloket is not related to what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says. They're just using that as a springboard to discuss their machloket. Hani halachot ninu? These are really halachot l'moshe Sinai? Hani krai ninu? These are really psukim, meaning that we're able to learn out these yudof yom of yemei ziva from the psukim. You don't need it from the halacha mishmisai, because the pasuk says by a zava bisha ki azuv zov dama yamim rabim below 8 nidata o ki tazuv al nidata ko yemei zov tumata ki mei nidata tia tmeahi, and then ko mishkav asher tishkav alav ko yemei zova ki mishkav nidata yela chokli asher teshev alav tmeah kutumat nidata. So that's the psukim that we find by the Zavag Dola. So now the Gemara is going to darshan those psukim piece by piece in order to come up with these Yimei Ziva. And that is, the Gemara says, Yochol haruei gimel yamim b'tchila. I would think when you have to see 3 days in a row in order to become a Zavag Dola, that would apply even in the beginning of her sighting, at the beginning of her Nida cycle. She has a sighting for 3 days in a row, she'll become a Zavag Dola. So, b'tchila Nida ritzufim tehei Zava. Umana mekayim isha ki tia Zava, dam yezova. What am I going to do with the psukim by Nida? Where is there going to be a nida? If she sees 3 days in a row and that she's a zava gdola, then how do I deal with the psukim that deal with the nida, which is isha ki tia zava, dam ye zova bitsara shivat yamim tia benidata? When is that going to apply? So Gemara says, apply that beruah yom achad, when she sees for 1 day. She has 1 day sighting, then she has this din of nida of 7 days of tuma. If she sights for 3 days in a row, she'll become a zava gdola all the way in the beginning. So Talmud Omar, the pasuk says, below 8 nidata, that this sighting by the zava gdola is not at the time of her nida. So what does that teach you? That teaches you samuch the nidata. It can't be, it's not at the time of a nida, but it's adjacent or in continuity from her nida, right after the period of her 7 days of nida. That's when these zavag dola or these yimei ziva apply. V'ainli elo samuch the nidata. I only have it when it's right up against her nida, the day after she has it. Now, muflag the nidata yom echad minayin. How do I know even if there was 1 day more? So here, the day after she is a nidah those 7 days, for the next 3 days, if she has a sighting, she becomes a zavag dola. That I learned out from below 8 nidata. How do I know that if she skips 1 day, day 8, she doesn't have a sighting, and then day 9, 10, and 11, she does have a sighting, and those 3 days in a row, how do I know that she becomes a zavag dola in that case? Because the pasuk says, minai in Talmud Lomar, o kitazuv. That o kitazuv means even more. Even more means even a day later. Even if it's deferred a day, if she has a sighting for 3 days in a row, there she becomes a zavag dola. So ein li ela yom echad. I only have a case where there's a 1 day buffer between the time she finishes up her nida and she has the sighting of the 3 days. Minayin l'rabot muflag shnayim, shlosha, arba'a, chamisha, shisha, shiva, shmona, tisha, vasara. How do I know if she's pushed out from her being a nida any amount of these days? As Tosfos points out, shnayim is unnecessary. We just darshan shnayim. We already darshan day two. Just because of the riut, just running through all the numbers, it mentions time again. But here we're talking about all the days of Yemei Ziva, from basically 3 to 10. We cover day 1 from the pasuk that says below 8 nidata. We cover day 2 from the O Kitazuf. So from day 3 to day 10, how do I know that they are also called Yemei Ziva? So Amart, Mametzinu Berivii, day number 4 of her Yemei Ziva, that day number 4 can play in two ways. Shira'ui l'sfira, it could be the first day of her Shiva Nikim, Vera'ui l'ziva, or it could be one of the days of the 3 days to become a Zavag Dola. Because we had a pasuk teach us that for the first 3 days after her being a Nida, she would become a Zavag Dola. In that case, she had 7 days of Nida, first 3 days of Yemei Ziva make her into a Zavag Dola, and then day number 4 is the first day of her Shiva Nikim. Then we had the next drusha, which is O Kitazuv. She has 7 days of Nida, skips a day, day 8 she skips, and then on day 9, 10, and 11, which are day 2, 3, and 4 of her Yemei Ziva, that could also make her into a Zavag Dola. That means day 4 could be one of the 3 days to make her into a Zavag Dola. So day 4 can play both roles. It can play the role of the Shiva Nikim, or it can play the role of being a day of Ziva. So Abani Avi Hasiri, I will include all those days from day 4 and onward, meaning day 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 of the Yemei Ziva, Shra'ui L'Svira, V'ra'ui L'Ziva, that they have both of those aspects to them. They can be counted towards the Shiva Nikim and V'ra'ui L'Ziva. And they also can be a day that is Ra'ui to have a sighting that will count towards being a Zava Gdola. U'minayin L'Rabot Achadasar, how do I know there's a day 11? Tamad Lomar, the Pasuk says, below 8 Nidata, not at the time that she was in Nida. So now below 8 Nidata sounds like it has to be far away from the time that she's in Nida. That will present the problem, because before the Gemara said below 8 Nidata means samuch l'nidata, close by or proximate to her being a Nida. Later on in the Gemara has a drush of al Nidata, which we're going to see later on, which is samuch l'nidata. And therefore you can see in the Masorah Tashas, he changes the drush on the first line of this Amud to al Nidata. Al Nidata means samuch, juxtaposed in continuity from her Nida. And below 8 Nidata says far away. Yocho shanim rabe af shneimasar. So how do you know to stop at 11? It says far away from her being a Nida. How do you know to stop at day 11 and not go to day 12? Amar talav. Umara itel rabot acharasar olotzi shneimasar. And you say 12 doesn't work. Why'd you include 11 and not include 12? Rabe ani acharasar shro'oi l'sfira. The 11th day could be one of the days of her Shiva Nikim. If she skipped a day, she had 7 days of Nida, skipped one day with no sighting, and then day 9, 10, 11, or of her Yemei Ziva, that means day 2, 3, and 4, she had sightings that make her into a Zavah Gdola. We learned that out of the Pasuk, Oki Tazuv. Then we have to count Shiva Nikim. The next 7 days will end up being 11 days after she was in Nida. Since it's Ra'ui to be one of the Shiva Nikim, it's also Ra'ui to be one of the Yemei Ziva. So that's why we know Acharasar Shiva'ui L'Sfirat Oki Tazuv, since it will be the last of the Shiva Nikim for the drush that we made out of the Pasuk of Oki Tazuv, which means that you defer it a day and then you have 3 days make her into Zavah Gdola. U'motziani Yudbet Shein Ra'ui L'Sfirat Oki Tazuv. I exclude 12, which is not one of the Shiva Nikim, from the two Limudim we have in the Pasuk, either from right against her Nida, the 3 days in a row, or skipping one day and then having 3 days in a row. Since it's not one of the Shiva Nikim, it will not be a day that's Ra'ui L'Ziva. V'ein Le'el Shloshe Yamim. I only know that if she sees 3 days in a row that she has a Zavah. Shnei Yamim Minayin. How do I know that even if she sees for 2 days? So the Pasuk says, Oki Tazuv Al Nidata, Kol Yamei Zov Tumata. So Gemara Darshan is from the word Yamei. Yamei means 2 days, even 2 days, because it's in plural. How do I know Yom Echad Minayin? How do I know if she cites even for 1 day that she's a Zavah Ktana? Tamalamar Kol Yamei. Kol is a Riboy, to say even 1 day. So 1 day and 2 days, she is a Zavah Ktana. 3 days, she becomes a Zavah Gdola. At the end of that Pasuk, it says, Tmeahi. So that word Tmeah, Melameh Shematamad Bola Kinida. That a Zavah has the same din as a Nida, that someone who is Boel a Nida has the status like a Nida, takes on a lot of the framework and Tumaot of a Nida, so too a Boel Zivah has that same din. He, when it says Tamiah, he mitamad Bola, vein a Zav mitamei mashuhu Boel. That's true of a Zavah Gdola, that's true of a Nida, but it's not true of a Zav, because as a he is a miut here that she has that status, but a male who has our setting Zav does not have that status. Valo dinu, isn't it a Kal v'chomer? A woman who can only become a Zavah Gdola by having sighting on separate days, and nevertheless, she affects anybody who has intercourse with her, who become Tameh either by having sightings over multiple days or having just multiple sightings on the same day. That's more chamur. Certainly she should be Tameh Mashu Boel. Tamalomer he. That's why we have the miut of he, that he mitamah et bola, venazav mitamah mashu boel. Now, even though we've had this Kal v'chomer many times in the Gemara, and the Gemara has rejected that on numerous occasions because there's also a chumra by Nida. The chumra by Nida is that she is mitamah ba'ones, which is not true by Azav. And because of that chumra, we always undermine the Kal v'chomer. So Tosfot over here tries to understand why is it that we don't undermine the Kal v'chomer. He says maybe the Gemara is ignoring that part because here we're talking about Sfira and counting. And over here we're counting, there is a chumra by Azav that's not by Nida. Nothing to do with sightings. It has to do with the numbers and the counting. Umanayin, so over here, the Yusuf in our Gemara is Shehu, but probably most likely should be Shehi. Osamishkav Kimoshav. How do we know that a Zavah Gdola, or a Zavah Ktana, has the same din as a Nida and Zmitama Mishkav Kimoshav? Tamalomar, the next Pasuk says, Kimishkav Nidata. Kol Mishkav Shetishkav Alav, Kol Yimei Zavah Kimishkav Nidata. She'll have the same status as a Nida. Ve'en Elish Loshi Amim. That's true of being a Zavah Gdola. Shnei Yamim Minayin. How do I know that when she only has a sighting for 2 days, that she's a Zavah Ktana, she also has a din of Mishkav Moshav? Because that Pasuk says, Kol Mishkav Asher Tishkav Alav, Kol Yamei Zavah Kimishkav Nidata Yela. Kol Yamei, Yamei, we're going to darshan for Shnei Yamim. So Tamalomar Yamei, Yom Echad, how do I know if she's a Zavah Ktana for 1 day? Tamalomar, Kol Yamei. So there's a tumat mishkav moshav even by a zavak tana of one day and 2 days. It's two psukim in a row, and the kol yemei is mentioned in both psukim. Minayin shesoferet echad leechad. How do I know of this din of shomeret yom keneged yom? Tamar lomar iela. That's in that pasuk. It says kimishkav nita iela. Iela. Rashi says we give her a havaya acheret. We give her one more chance. We give her another opportunity. Meaning that there's one day shomeret yom keneged yom. Yochol tispor shiva lishnayim. I would think that if she has a sighting 2 days in a row, then she should have to count Shiva Nikim. So by one, I understand. She only has to wait 1 day. But maybe by two, she should have Shiva Nikim. It's a Kavachomer. Umahu, Shein Sofer Echad Leechad. By a Zav, if he has a sighting for 1 day, he doesn't have to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. He goes to the mikveh that day, and by sunset, he's already Tahor. He has Tumat Derev. He doesn't have to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Nevertheless, Sofer Shiva Lishnaim, he, if he has two sightings in a row, becomes a Zav, and he has to have Shiva Nikim. He should Sofer Echad Leechad. Here, where she has one sighting, has to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Ainu Din Shetispor Shiva Lishnayim. Certainly, she should have to keep Shiva Nikiim for having 2 days of sighting. Tamar Lomar Iela Ainu Soferet Elo Yoma. So the Iela comes to say that by the Kol Yemei, there's only a din of Iela. There's only a din of Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. So the pasuk tells us that Shomer Yom Keneged Yom applies by Kol and Yemei, which is for one sighting and two sightings. But there is no Shiva Nikiim until you hit three sightings. So Gemara says Alma Krayninu. You see from this braita that you learn everything out of psukim. What's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying? That it's a din of Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva cry. According to Rabbi Akiva, that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Rabbi Akiva thinks we learn out of psukim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, hilchata. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it's Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. So now we have, out of the three things he mentioned, two of them Rabbi Akiva argues on. Bashemen, the Chatzilog Shemen by the Todah. Rabbi Akiva learns it out of a pasuk. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gets it from Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. Here, by the Yemei Ziva, the 7 days of Yemei Ziva, we see Rabbi Akiva saying that it comes out of this bright, out of this psukim, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah again says that it's Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. So Tosfot speculates that the third one is the same, even though we have no evidence to that, that the same machloka would apply by the third Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai over here, that Rabbi Akiva would disagree and bring psukim down. I'll just note here that what's very interesting is that Rabbi Akiva is the position in many places in Shas. Rabbi Akiva argues against the position of Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai, and he says, I can learn it out of the psukim. We have it by Nisuch HaMayim, and we saw two examples over here of this, which is very interesting because we know the famous story of Rabbi Akiva and Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, the Medrash that the Gemara brings down, Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are all these tagim on top of the letters? Shem says, L'atid Avodu is going to be an individual, his name is Rabbi Akiva, who will be Doresh, I'll call Tag V'Tag, he'll have a drush on every little crown that is on top of the letters. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, let me go sit in on his shiur. And Hashem sits up Moshe Rabbeinu to sit in the shiur. Moshe's listening and he doesn't understand a thing that Rabbi Akiva is saying. He's very distraught. Here it is. This is supposed to be Torah mi Moshe and doesn't understand a thing. And the shiur, at one point, Rabbi Akiva says, oh, that's Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. And Moshe Rabbeinu is consoled by the fact that Rabbi Akiva concludes his shiur by saying that it's Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. Because he heard that it was Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai, that all of this derived from him and his Torah. Funny that that story, which relates that Rabbi Akiva was saying Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai, in many instances, Rabbi Akiva is not the one who thinks that it's Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. In most instances, he finds a pasuk to darshan from, and that would be also, I think, in a similar vein, the same idea, that it all derives from Torah Moshe. And that's a positive or some consoling factor to Moshe Rabbeinu, that everything derives from the Torah that he brought down. Amalei Rav Shmaya, or the other alternative is Rabbi Shaya, the Rabbi Abba, Ema biyomama tehezava, belelia teheavinida. That only during the day, if she has sightings during the day, she'll become a zava. If she has sightings at night, she'll be a nida. Because the pasuk says, you may, during the daytime. Amar lechak amar kra. The pasuk says on you, al nidata, samuch le nidata, right after she finishes her nida. So this is what I said before, the al nidata is probably what should be on the first line of this amud. That means samuch nida, right after nida. We learned before, when does the nida terminate? When you have 7 days of nida, when does that terminate? After the seventh day, right away, it terminates. You go to the mikveh on the beginning of the eighth day, at nighttime. You go to the mikveh because she's Torah already. So we're talking about samuch nida, that would be at nighttime. So even b'samuch nida, that's where the parsha of zava is said. So you see that a sighting at night will have that status like a zava gdola of a sighting during the day. So even though it's samuch nida, and it's at nighttime, imitavei b'leilya v'kakari la'zava, and still calls her zava, so you see nighttime still has that din of zava. Now the Gemara ends, Tana debe Eliyahu, kol ashone halachot b'chol yom, muftach lo shu ben olam haba. Anybody who learns halachot every day is promised that he will be an ben olam haba. whether that means that he learns halacha or he learns the sugya well enough that he comes at aliba de hilchata, then he is a ben olam mamash. Shenemar halichot olam lo, that this will be the ways of his world. Atikra halichot el halachot, that if he keeps the halachot olam lo, then he will have his world olam haba. Tosafot over here says something interesting. He says, I don't know if this belongs here. This has nothing to do with the Gemara that we just read. And he mentioned something that everybody quotes all the time. He says, it's farim delo garsinin le. Miu beperish Rashi ito. First of all, Rashi does have it in his perish. And number two, Rabbi Tam higiu besifro. Even though Rabbeinu Tam did not have it in his Masechet Nidah, he added it in. B'chein nira. And he thinks this is right. Why? The idea of Ariel behilchata, mighty law, the same ba davar tov. We just dealt with things that were halacha. Halacha la Moshe Sinai. So since we dealt with that, we wanted to end it off on a good note. V'ita nami came b'megillah. And we have this in Megillah and the last perek, and also in the end of Brachot, this same Agadata, we end off with an Agadata to end off on a high note. Shekein matzinu b'nevi'im rishonim. We find by the Nevi'im rishonim, shesayimu divriyam b'divrei shevach v'tanchumim. They always end off the Navi on a high note. They end off on something positive. So just like the Nevi'im end off on something positive, so too Chazal wanted to end off a Masechta on a really positive note. So even though it's somewhat not relevant to here, but since we talked about Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and we want to end off on a high note, both Masechet Nidah, Seder Tarot, and Shas, we want to end off on a really high note, that of Tana Debe Eliyahu, Kon Shalochot, B'chol Yom, Muftach Lo, Shehu Ben Olam Haba. Mazal Tov.